Author and origin of the Book of Acts. If none of those things is true whereof these accuse me, no man can give me up unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Acts chapter 25, verse 11. Each book of the Bible was written with a purpose. The Gospel of Matthew shows Jesus Christ as the Messiah of prophecy. Mark emphasizes Jesus as a servant of both God and man. John combats the much later Gnostic, salvation is by knowledge, apostasy. Luke writes to a Roman court official, Theophilus, to show that the founder of the Christian religion was blameless, for example, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, and that he taught his followers to be likewise. The Acts of the Apostles also was written by Luke to the Roman official, Theophilus, continuing after Luke's gospel, as a legal defense brief for the Apostle Paul before Caesar's court. He writes in order, consecutively, not topically, as appropriate to a legal brief. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Who was Luke? It is thought that Luke was born in Antioch of Syria, probably not of Jewish parents. He became a physician, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. When Luke was converted is not known, but Luke evidently joined Paul in Troas, as the pronoun changes from they to we in Acts chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. Then Luke was evidently left at Philippi, but on Paul's third missionary journey, he evidently joined Paul there. Acts chapter 17, verse 1, chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Legal Brief, Part 1, Gospel of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke adds many events in Jesus' life which are not found in the other Gospels, which helps to make it the longest of the four Gospels. Several events particularly appropriate to a legal brief are mentioned here. A. Jesus was sincerely religious, even from his youth. When Jesus tarried in Jerusalem, he was found in the temple discussing scriptures with the doctors of the law. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. B. Jesus was doing good things for the people. He raised a widow's son from the dead. Chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. He healed a man from dropsy, again asking nothing in return. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. C. Jesus was kinder to non-Jews and to tax collectors than were some of the Jewish rulers. He healed 10 lepers and commended the Samaritan among them, who returned to thank Jesus for his healing. Chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus accepted an invitation to dine with Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector for the Romans. Chapter 19, verses 2 through 10. D. Jesus had enemies. He was rejected at Nazareth. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. He spoke against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and lawyers, chapter 11, verses 37 through 54, and he re-emphasized it in his parable of the Pharisee and the publican, tax collector, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He told the people they must either repent or perish, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. E. Jesus was merciful. He refused to call down fire on Samaritans who were prejudiced against him. Chapter 9, verses 51 to 56. Even in his dying hour, he was comforting a thief on another cross. Chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. Jesus also made peace between two Roman officials. When he was sent for trial from Pilate to Herod and back again, this made peace between Pilate and Herod. Chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Thus, the Gospel of Luke details how the founder of the Christian religion had done nothing worthy of death, but had done much that the Romans could appreciate. Legal Brief Part 2, Acts of the Apostles. All four Gospels conclude with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which even a Roman could see was fundamental to the Christian religion. Luke's Gospel concludes with Jesus' ascension. Then Luke begins Acts with more detail about that, until a cloud hid Jesus from their sight. The Apostles then chose a replacement for Judas. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 25. Pentecost showed God's favor by a miracle until they grew in number to 3,000. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 41. Then Peter and John healed a lame man in the name of Jesus Christ, but were arrested for it and threatened. Chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 22. Ananias and Sapphira lied and died, showing that the religion was deadly serious. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. When Stephen made his defense of Jesus as the Messiah from the law and prophets, Saul of Tarsus, later named Paul, agreed with a mob to stone Stephen to death, chapter 6, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 1. As if in answer to Stephen's prayer, Paul was converted when Christ appeared to him as a bright light on the road to Damascus, chapter 7, verse 60, chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. Peter raised Tabitha from the dead, chapter 9, verses 36 through 42. Then he converted a Roman centurion, chapter 10, verses 1 through 48, showing that Christians were not prejudiced against Gentiles, chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 18. A very perceptive Barnabas went to Tarsus, the city of Paul, and brought Paul back to Antioch, chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. After Herod had killed John's brother James and had been eaten of worms and died, Barnabas and Saul went to Jerusalem, chapter 12. Later, Paul and Barnabas were commissioned by the Holy Spirit to go to Cyprus and south central Turkey, Paul's first missionary journey, chapter 13, verse 1 through chapter 14, verse 26. On his second missionary journey, Paul went to Turkey, Macedonia, and Greece, chapter 15, verse 36 through chapter 18, verse 22. His third missionary journey took him to Tarsus, central Turkey, Macedonia, and Greece, chapter 18, verse 23 to chapter 21, verse 17. On this last journey, Eutychus went to sleep and fell out a window to his death following Paul's discourse, but Paul brought him back to life again, chapter 20, verses 9 through 12. Peter and Paul were the only ones after Jesus to raise someone from the dead, which confirmed God's choice of Paul as one of the 12. During these journeys, Paul cast out a spirit of divination from the silversmith's maid, and he was jailed in Philippi. Following an earthquake, they had an opportunity to escape, but did not, and their jailer was subsequently converted. When the magistrates heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they personally came to apologize, chapter 16, verses 16 through 40. When Paul was accused by Corinthian Jews of perverting the law, Gallio, proconsul of Achaia, refused to judge them according to the Jewish law, chapter 18, verses 12 through 17. When Paul's message in Ephesus was hurting the silversmith's business, Paul was accused. However, the town clerk said, "They are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of our goddess," chapter 19, verses 23 through 41. Asian Jews at Jerusalem made the final accusation. Paul's defense continued until he said the Lord had said unto him, "Depart, for I will send thee forth for hence unto the Gentiles." Acts chapter 21, verse 27 through chapter 22, verse 29. Ultimately, Paul was unwilling to bribe Felix and appealed to Caesar in Rome, chapter 23, verse 11, chapter 24, verse 26, chapter 25, verse 11, and verse 25. Thus, a Roman official could see, according to verifiable witnesses, that Paul had a history of being a law-abiding citizen. Paul's capital offense court trials. Paul was brought to trial in Rome twice. At his first trial, all forsook him, but the Lord gave him strength, and he was acquitted. The second time, Luke alone was with him, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. Hence, Luke was there to write in Paul's defense the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. When the penalty of death was pronounced upon Paul, there was no use continuing the legal defense brief for Paul in Roman court. Therefore, the Acts of the Apostles ends abruptly, chapter 28, verse 31. Paul had been the beneficiary of Stephen's dying prayer, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," chapter 7, verse 60. In turn, Paul asked for mercy for those who forsook him, "May it not be laid to their account," 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16.